You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Wing It Podcast.
Hello and welcome into Winging It, part of the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm your host, Annie Finberg, joined by the 1920 NBA Sportsmanship Award winner, my co-host, Mr. Vince Carter.
Yeah, VC's in the house. They caught me by surprise on that one, man. I was literally sitting on air and they had this something sitting in between RJ and Rachel. And I was going to ask them, I was like, what's that? But I was like, whatever, we didn't have enough time and we go on air. As soon as we go on there, Rachel's like, oh, Vince, I bet you're wondering what's that. I was like, yeah, man, what's that? I was going to ask. And that's when I found out what was going on. I was like, what? It was totally caught me way off guard. So,
well, congratulations. I think, as everyone knows, you are definitely, your sportsmanship is top notch. After practicing it for 22 seasons, you got it down, Pat.
I learned from some of the best. Here's one.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and intro our guest. We are so excited to have Super Bowl champ, six-time Pro Bowler, the Bus, Jerome Bettis.
Yes, thank sir. You.
That sounds like some GOAT stats. Yeah. Some GOAT stats for sure.
Yes. Decent. Not GOAT, but decent.
Good enough to get in the Hall of Fame? Okay, cool.
100%.
100%.
Well, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on. I was so glad Vince was able to get you here. I know it's a special day for you and your wife, so we will make it snappy. So let's just jump right in. How's everyone doing? I'm a little bit frazzled. I just got out of Hawks mini camp for 10 days straight, so I apologize. Vince, you might have to do some of the hosting tonight.
No, all good. Well, I'll jump right in. Let's go here. We talked about the Hall of Fame, and we may work our way around, but how was that for you? I mean, I know as an athlete, we come into the sport wanting to, you know, maximize our talent, be the best and everything. Was it like, you know, I know for you, hell, I want to win a Super Bowl. I want to be the best. And hopefully Hall of Fame comes with that. When you receive that call, tell us about it. Take us through that.
Well, first of all, for me, it was pretty unique because I started out not really wanting all of the accolades and all that. I started out wanting to get a scholarship to college. I didn't play football until my freshman year of high school. So it wasn't like, you know, this was something that was, you know, deep inside of me. This was a means to an end. I was trying to get a college scholarship. I thought that I was a decent player. I played in the neighborhood, and my uncle, who was a football coach, saw me, said, hey, I think you could play. I went out my freshman year. I played. I enjoyed it. I got better. And then, as it turns out, I fell in love with the game. But initially, that was never the goal, to be this Hall of Fame football player. So for me, it was, you know, the means to the end. I got to Notre Dame. Once I got to Notre Dame, I didn't think I was, like, pro ready. What happened is, you know, I got going. And before you know it, they were saying, oh, is he going to leave and enter into the draft? And I'm thinking, oh, I'm not good enough. But as it turns out, it happened, got to the NFL, and then it changed again. So I played fullback at Notre Dame. I played tailback, you know, a couple times in a game. I started at tailback one game, and all of a sudden I get drafted and they want me to play tailback, a totally different position than I played in college. So now here I am trying to learn a new position in the NFL And so for me, I had to learn how to spin move, learn how to stiff arm. I didn't do any of that. I was a fullback. I just tried to run guys over.
Run people over. Yeah, that's crazy.
Having to learn all of this and then to have the career that I had, that was a really special part. And then obviously get the phone call to go into the Hall of Fame. That was a magical moment because, you know, it was one of those I would always hear because I went in, I think, on my fifth year, I think, of eligibility. So I would always hear, you know, hey, Jerome, you know, the first 4 years I didn't get in. They said, you're a Hall of Famer in my book. And I would want to say to him, nobody reads your book.
Reads your book.
Nobody cares about your book, right? I mean, so it was frustrating initially. And then when I got the call, it was just like an enormous weight was lifted. It was the moment that after having played it and falling in love with the game, wanting to be the best player I could be every single day, that was the byproduct of going out and wanting to win a championship. And it fortunately happened for me. And it was a special, special call when they told me that I was in.
I can't imagine. Cannot imagine.
Well, you better get ready to imagine, exactly. Vince. You're crazy. I'm assuming Vince will be getting that call, yeah, one of these days.
We hope.
Everyone calls him future Hall of Famer. Everyone's like, the future Hall of Famer, Vince Carter, the future Hall of Famer. It fits.
But you don't like it. And I know because people say, oh, yeah, you'll be in the Hall of Fame. It's like
I hear you, but let's wait until that call actually gets here.
Let's wait until it's formalized and I got my jacket and it's the ceremony. And then that's when you can rest and be comfortable with your place in history.
So I want to ask you, obviously, you spent a majority of your career with the Steelers, who's tied with the Patriots for the most Super Bowl wins. As someone who's been like within that organization, what makes them so special and consistently great?
Well, I think it starts with the ownership. The ownership, for one, they expect a certain level of competition. And it all started years and years ago when they were able to draft the right players and build a culture that was, you know, winning championships. And so, as it turns out, that standard and expectation kind of kept going throughout the years. And so, as a player, when we come into that door of the facility, you come there understanding the expectation that's being asked of you as a player. And they make no bones about it. You walk in, you see all those trophies. They're right there. And it's like, okay, here it is. You know, this is a championship organization. And that's what they want you to see from the minute you walk in the door. And so once you do that as a player, you understand this is the expectation. And if I don't live up to that expectation, I may not be here long. So you understand that. But then they welcome you in, and the culture is that of a family, the ownership. They're there every day, the Rooneys. They're in the office every day. If you got a question, you can go and knock on the door and go have a conversation. It's not like that with a lot of organizations. And so I think it starts with the ownership, and it bleeds down to the coaches, because they walk the same line that the ownership, you know, wants in terms of wanting to be a winning franchise. But they also understand that we're human and we need to have certain things from a head coach perspective. And all we want is transparency and honesty. And when they provide that, then you run through a brick wall for them.
So you won a Super Bowl with them. I'm curious about your Super Bowl ring. How often do you wear it? And like where do you, I know a lot of people keep it in a safe or whatever, but like how often do you bring it out?
Great question. The Super Bowl ring, I don't wear it that often. I only normally wear it for television purposes and when it's like the week of the Super Bowl. Mm. Because that gives you the legitimacy in that moment to be able to critique and talk about the Super Bowl and the whole experience. And so that's usually the only time that I really wear it. But the unique story about that is I got a chance to design our Super Bowl ring.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, it started because I was, after we won the game, we were in Detroit, my hometown, and it was just an incredible moment. I did not lose sight of that opportunity. So we're in the locker room, everybody's cheering, going crazy, and throwing champagne, all this stuff. The first thing I thought about was the ring, and I saw the owner, Mr. Rooney, on the other side, and he's no longer with us, and he was a great man. But I took a beeline over to him. I said, Mr. Rooney, I want to be part of the committee to help design the Super Bowl ring. And he said, okay, Jerome, it'll be me and you. And I was like,
oh, that committee.
I wasn't asking for that. I was just saying, just put me on the list. Right. And he was like, no, it'll be me and you. And so I was like, great. Well, a couple months passed. He gave me a call. I think it's like in March. He says, hey, April. I think it was by April. Yeah, April, early May. He says, Jerome, could you come in town? I want to start designing the ring. I said, I'll be there. So I go there, and his first design was awful. It was one diamond in the middle of the ring. It was like, it's like a graduation ring or something. It was one diamond in the middle. And I was like, and so I had to think, like, how can I get all these diamonds in the ring? I said, Mr. Rooney, what you got to understand is this does not represent all that we've gone through as players. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, we walk through this facility. We see those at the time it was they had won four. This was the fifth Super Bowl ring. I said, we see those four championships every day. And we, you know, and we want to be part of that. And he said, well, I thought you guys wanted to be separate. And I said, no. We want to be part of that. We help, you know, to keep that standard alive. We want to be part of that success. We don't want to be individual. And so he's like, oh, okay. I said, so yes, we want to make sure all those rings. So the NFL, if you win a Super Bowl, you get to put that Super Bowl on there. So if you win five, you get to have five diamonds on there. So I said, Mr. Rooney, this is the fifth championship. We need to have five diamonds. And so we ended up getting five Lombardi trophies on the front and with the fifth one in the middle with a big diamond. So I was able to convince him that we needed to you know, be inclusive in the championships. And so we got all the diamonds on, which my teammates told me before this all started, we want to ice out or we're going to kill you. And I was thinking, oh my God, they're going to kill me because he only wants to put one diamond on there. So I made it happen.
That's a great story.
Hey, and let me ask this, speaking of rings, where does your Super Bowl ring of that year compare to what they look like now?
That's a good question.
Oh, good question. Yeah, not even close. It's so, I mean, huge. The now, mine is very small. It's in relationship to these other ones. I mean, it's not even close. It's a nice ring. It's got the, you know, diamond. But when you see the ones now, you're like, whoa.
So you look at yours back then, it was like, boy, I got the biggest ring. And now, like, you got, I like this. I got a promise ring now.
What happened was, a couple years later, they win the Super Bowl again, right? So it's only, it's like a lot of the same guys on the team. And a lot of guys got two rings. So they got the one that I designed, and they got this big old thing next to it. I'm like, hey, y'all go making me look bad.
Make you look bad. They be like, hey, they hold them both up and be like, yo, the bus, he designed this one.
right. They're like, yeah, he fell short on this one.
Right.
It looks better. There's the other, the sixth one is bigger, but mine looks better.
No, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly.
So speaking of this year's Super Bowl rings, how about them Chiefs, though? They've been looking good, huh?
Okay. Hey, you know what, though? That is great. They finally won a championship after all those years. That I'm happy.
I feel like there's some shade in there.
No.
It's only been like, what, 50, 60 years?
That's all I'm saying. I mean, 60 years, one championship, that's great. It is. See.
That is shade.
That was well done, though.
That you're an antagonist.
I'm just saying. Thought it was well done. I thought it's well
some
delivered.
Organizations have never won one. You look at the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, they haven't won one. They probably won't ever win one.
Oh.
That's shade.
That's shade.
Well, and the Chiefs look great right now. They're undefeated. They just beat the, what was that, Ravens?
There's a couple of undefeated teams.
Well, whatever. The Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl again, and that's all that matters.
Well, they've got a great chance. I think when you look at Patrick Mahomes, he's the best player in the NFL right now, hands down. But what you also have to understand is when you play 16 weeks, there is a really good chance that the entire group of player that you start with won't be the group that you end the year with. So with that being said, you still have to get lucky. If you want, you can be the best team, but you have to be the lucky team to have all your players at the end of the season that can compete for a championship. So, you know, we can say they're the best team now, but it can very easily change.
You make a great point.
Because I wonder how many people, you know, in the world, Chiefs fans are, you know, for example, who actually think about that. You know, they don't think, particularly if you've never played the sport, been a part around the sport, that's something that you don't really factor in.
No, you never factor in injury. You always say, oh, well, we're going to be fine. You see how well we're doing now. But, you know, people fail to realize how physical the game is and that, you know, you've got to try to prepare 16 weeks, 1 week at a time. You could play a tough game, and in 3 or 4 days, you got to be getting ready for that next game. I mean, and it's a battle of attrition because, you know, after week 12, 13, nobody feels good. Everybody's, you know, limping around because everybody's beat up to a degree. And now it's just a matter of you know, who still has enough left.
Who can stay the healthiest.
Yeah, who can stay the healthiest. So I think it's still going to be up in the air, although the Chiefs are definitely the class of the NFL right now. You've got to say that.
I appreciate that. For sure.
why do fans think that that's? Oh, thank you. That was geared to. That was talking about the Chiefs. You said you took credit for that. Oh, thank you. That is something else. I tell you.
Oh, you're funny.
Winging It is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. The NBA Finals are here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is ready to support your betting needs during the NBA Finals. FanDuel Sportsbook has over 400 NBA betting markets, not counting tens of thousands of the same game parlay combinations with markets as granular as first quarter player points and player to make miss first field goal. FanDuel Sportsbook also has topical pregame super boosts and in-game boosts so you can continue getting the best odds and promotions throughout. Don't forget their same game parlays. FanDuel Sportsbook is the only place with same game parlay for the finals, where you combine multiple bets from one matchup or team into a single parlay. That's a lot of reasons to try FanDuel Sportsbook, but here's one more. Right now, new users can place their first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. Seriously, there's no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. If I was to use my risk-free bet during the next game, I would probably use it for the player to make or miss their first field goal. Seems like a safe but functional bet for me. If sports betting is legal in your state, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to place your NBA Finals bets. If not, go play the final single game contest with FanDuel Fantasy. And if you're new, be sure to sign up with promo code WING so they know I sent you. That's promo code WING. Disclaimer, 21 and up and present in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, West Virginia, Indiana, Colorado, or Iowa. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Or in Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Okay, let's talk about you again. So you retired after 13 years, and you retired at the top of your career, whereas Vince has been in this for ages, like, you know, for as long as I've been alive, pretty much.
Almost.
You know, he stayed a few more years past. So what, was it hard for you to leave the game at that point?
You know what? It was hard, but it wasn't that hard. I had tried to retire actually a year before I actually retired.
Yeah.
We lost in the championship game. We were playing New England. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, 12 years, I've given it all I can give. I'm running on fumes. I'm done. So I go, after the game was over, I talked to our head coach. I asked him, could I talk to the team? I talked to the team, and I told them, you know, I was retiring, and I thanked them for being great teammates, and everybody's crying. I'm crying. They're crying. And this was the meeting after the last game. And so the head coach said, hey, don't make a harsh decision right now. You got a lot of emotions going. So I said, okay, I'll think about it. Well, it just so happens that I was elected to go to the Pro Bowl that year. And so the Pro Bowl, the way it worked then, it doesn't work this way now. The coaches for the Steelers, because we lost in a championship game, they were the team. They were the coaches that would represent the Pro Bowl in terms of the coaches. That year we were 15-1, so we had a ton of players going to the Pro Bowl. So it turns out we had the ownership that went, the owners, the Rooney family, the head coaches. We had 8 or 9 players that went to the Pro Bowl that year. So we had a Steeler luau out there in Hawaii, and two of the guys came up to me and said, man, it's going to be a shame that we're going to go to the Super Bowl next year in Detroit, and you're not going to be there. And I didn't even think that the Super Bowl was in my hometown the next year. And I gave it some thought, and then I said, man, this was a good team. Maybe I can give it one more year. So I decided to try to play one more year, and as it happened, that was the year.
Go out with a bang.
I was 100% done after that. Like, I had nothing left. It was like, I was running on fumes.
But how were you able to, you know, to answer that, to follow up, how were you able to kind of get yourself back in that mode for 16, 17 weeks plus playoffs?
Yeah, that was the hard part, because once you tell yourself you're done, to try to restart the engines, that is a hard thing to do.
Yes, sir.
I would go train in St. Louis with Bobby Kersey, Jackie Joyner Kersey's husband. He was a trainer. So I would train with him, and I was in St. Louis. It's 95 degrees. And I'm saying to myself, what am I doing out here? I don't want to be out here. This sucks, right? I should be retired. I should be somewhere chilling right now, right? Swinging a golf club. I don't need to be out here. And so that was my thought. And I kept getting more and more pissed off because I'm out here and it's 100 degrees and I'm going 2-a-days and I'm on a track running. And so I had to convince myself that, you know what, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to be all in.
Right.
I got to commit myself. And so I had that conversation with myself and said, listen, you decided that you wanted to play one more year. So you got to do what you have to do to be ready. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I kind of changed gears and got in shape and got myself ready. But it was really hard because I was ready to pack it in.
I think you would agree with me when I say this. I know that you said going through the season, it's tough. Like you said, refocus, probably game to game. But it's something about the playoffs. You're beat up all season. I just want to get to the end. And all of a sudden, it's like new life for the playoffs.
Re-energized.
That's interesting.
The season is the grind. You know, and people, they say it, but it actually happens. You know, they say, well, you know, you play the playoffs for free. You actually almost do because you don't get anywhere near what you get normally paid during the regular season. So you kind of do play for free. But you know what? You wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, and it's that end goal.
And that's as a kid what you dream about, right? You don't necessarily dream about it. You dream about touchdowns or, you know, a dunk or something like you do. But you really dream about, you know, holding the trophy, doing all that kind of stuff. Because you saw, you know, years and years before all these guys do it, right? You're like, man, I want that to be me one day. And so that's the kind of thing that gets you going after 16 weeks, after your body's beat up. That's what keeps you going to say, you know what? We got something left. Let's go and try to win a championship. And right. Unfortunately, everybody can't. It doesn't happen that way. So it was 12 years that, you know, we left, you know, holding our heads down because, you know, we gave it a shot, but we just weren't good enough.
So what was the hardest part for you for adjusting to retirement? Because I know, not to speak for Vince, but he said several times that if he didn't have golf, it would have been a much harder transition, you know, starting to go into retirement. So for you, what was the hardest part of that?
Yeah, for me, it was, you know, not knowing what to do with the time that I had, because all of my time was always structured to a degree. It was like, okay, we're doing this. And in the off season, you know, I had the off season structured. I gave myself 2 weeks to try to just do whatever I wanted to do. And then I had to get back into it gradually. And, you know, for the first 3 weeks, I would be doing this. I would just kind of low impact, ride the bike. And next couple of weeks, I'd do this. And so I would kind of build up to the season. And then when it's over, it's like, okay, well.
I don't have to build up to nothing.
Okay, I don't have to build up to nothing. It's like, what are you going to do? So for me, it was, you know, it was interesting because I had just had a daughter. And my daughter was 1 year old. So I was transitioning. I had just got married. So I was transitioning to a new life, but there was still a ton of time that I had on my hands. And so actually golf is really what saved me as well. So what I started doing was I started to go to the range every single day because I really wasn't that good. But I said to myself, you know, so now I'm retired. I'm going to have to do all these pro-ams. All these people are going to see me play golf. I need to figure out, you know, how to play. So I started going every single day. I would go hit, you know, a bucket and a half of balls. And then after about, you know, the first year, then I started getting more instruction as to, hey, you know, the coaches, well, this is what you need to do. This. And so the golf became kind of my release because I didn't know a lot of people in Atlanta because I had just moved to Atlanta. My family was in Detroit. You know, I had been in Pittsburgh for 10 years. So coming to Atlanta, I didn't know that many people. So it was really an isolated scenario, but golf really saved the day because it gave me a chance to really focus on and still be competitive. And I think as competitors, we all want to have an opportunity to compete because with golf, the one thing that golf reminds us about all the sports that we play is one, we're competing against ourselves. And that's the first internal fight that we always have because we always, when we in our particular sport, we do the same thing. We're competing against ourselves first and then we compete outwardly. And so that gives you a chance to really do a little bit of both because you're never as good as you think you are. And golf always humbles you. And that's what keeps you coming back because you want to be better. You think you're better. And golf quickly smacks you in the face and brings you back to reality. And that's what gets you back up wanting to do it again.
Where's your handicap right now?
It's a six. I'm mad at.
What's yours, Vince? Again?
I'm at a seven.
So y'all are pretty equal then.
No.
Pretty close.
He got me. I'm getting there.
Y'all need to play golf then.
We've played.
Wait, you got to remember, he's just retired. I've been retired for 14 years. He's going on 15 years. So, I mean, if I wasn't a little better, I'd be pissed off because it'd be a huge waste of time.
Right. That's true.
Hey, JB, let me tell you something. Soon as my days, we went into the halt. And he'll tell you the next day, boy. He said, "Bitch, what you doing?" Yeah, all right.
He's on the golf course.
On the course, absolutely. Yeah, man.
I was like, it's time to get better. I'm trying to get like in the low digits. You know, I'm trying to get scratched. So, one of these days.
We're a little short on time, so I'm going to fly through these questions, and then we can talk a little bit about you and Vince. But I want to know. So, during your cameo in The Office, Michael Scott said that your nickname was the Bus because you were afraid of flying. Take us back to the first time someone called you the Bus and kind of how that stuck, and if it, I'm assuming, is not because you're afraid of flying.
Yeah, so the first time I was called the Bus was when I was at Notre Dame. And
which, by the way, let's say that it wasn't the ACC at that time for all these young folks.
No.
Go ahead.
I was at Notre Dame, and somebody wrote an article in the student body newspaper, and it said something to the extent that I reminded them of Bus, and that should be my nickname. And so when I would play in the games, the student section, they would have a chant and they would say, "Nobody stops the Bus." And that's what the chant would be when I would have like a big run. And so it just started growing and growing and growing. And next thing you know, that's what everybody, you know, on campus was calling me the Bus, and it kind of stuck. And when I went, but it didn't stick to until I got to Pittsburgh, because when I was with the Rams, the nickname was the Battering Ram. And so when I got to Western Pennsylvania, which is a huge Notre Dame following,
Bus was back.
And that was it.
I'm jealous that you got to go in The Office, but I want to ask you that obviously the NFL is going on right now. The NBA is in the finals, about to wrap their season. They were able to pick up and close the season. So I want to know, Jerome, what do you think about the NFL? I know there was an outbreak with the team recently, but do you think that they're going to be able to finish out the season and be able to do like the NBA did?
Yeah, I think they'll finish out the season for one main reason. One is that it's been negotiated with the Players Association. Now, had this not been a negotiated situation, then yeah, maybe not. The players would maybe rebel and say, "Hey, we're not going to play. The conditions aren't right." But this is was negotiated by the Players Association, and basically the players said, "Hey, if you give us these things, and if you provide this, then we will go out and play. And if these certain things happen, then this is the protocol." So all these things happening have been negotiated. And so everybody understands the parameters, what's happening, and what the consequences are as a result of this. So I don't think, you know, anything changes. The scary part is if multiple teams, multiple weeks, then that creates a competitive imbalance, because now there may not be enough weeks for some teams to have the same amount of games played.
Right.
And then that becomes a slippery slope.
And then the question is, how do you handle that once it's a bunch of teams, you know?
Yeah, that's the difficulty. And that's why this is such a critical time, because now we've got one team, that affects, you know, three teams. It affected the Minnesota Vikings, who they just played, and it affects the Pittsburgh Steelers now this week. The Vikings, not so much, because they've been testing negative. But the Steelers, now they were going to have a bye week on week 7. Now their bye week has to come week 3.
Wow.
Week 4, rather. So it creates a issue for multiple teams. And so that's just one team having an issue. Yeah. If you have multiple teams, it's going to create huge problem in the NFL.
So my last question, then we'll let you go. But I'm never surprised when Vince brings in a cool guest, because he's half man, half amazing. So he knows everyone. But I want to know how you guys know each other, how you guys connected. And then your last comment of the show is what you think about Vince as an NBA player.
First of all, I'm going to answer the last one first.
Okay, great.
I mean, just ridiculous. And I told him when we got a chance to meet, over at East Lake when we were playing in the golf event, that I had heard about him before he had even graduated from high school. One of my college teammates was from that area. I think he went to Ely or one of those. I'm not sure which school he went to down in Miami. But he would tell me about this kid, Vince Carter, who could jump out of the gym, right? And I was like, okay. I mean, I think he must have been a sophomore or junior at the time, because my guy was already in college and he was talking about him. So I have known about him. And then when I actually saw him, I'll never forget calling my friend, his name is Kevin McDougal. I said, Kev, you weren't lying, man. This guy's nuts.
Kevin McDougal.
You know, having heard of him before he even became the superstar that he would ultimately become, it was pretty neat to kind of follow that trajectory.
And then, Andy, we have mutual friends and we've been in different places. You know, you probably don't know it, just doing events and whatnot. And we kind of found, like you said, got to meet at East Lake a month ago, seems like, or a couple of weeks ago. And we have the same interest and love, obviously, of golf. And like I said, our mutual friends that we have love golf. So, I mean, it's a friendship that's, you know, it's like you see somebody from afar, you admire them, you have appreciation for what they're doing. And now, you know, we connected and it's kind of like, hey, all of these times it's like never got the opportunity to kind of hang or golf or whatever. And now, you know, here we are.
Now you're retired and you can play all the golf you want.
What you said.
So thank you so much to Jerome for coming on the show. We appreciate you. We appreciate your time. It's been great to hear from another unbelievable athlete. So thank you so much. And we will talk to you soon.
The Hall of Famer.
And that was another episode of the Winging It podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to...
5 stars, good people. Give us 5 stars.
Give us 5 stars. Leave us a review and let us know via social media who you want to hear on the podcast. And we will talk to you next time.
We out.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.